Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. If you have a scary story you would like to submit, email it to me at zachbabytv@gmail.com. You never know what's really out there in the water, in the depths of darkness. Whether it's by land or by sea, there are things out there that have yet to be discovered. Shout out to my channel members and my patrons, as you are what keep this channel alive. Now, scoot that lawn chair just a little bit closer to that fire. Toast up those beautiful buns of yours. And let's get spooky. Lake Fazzen is a small, densely vegetated body of water in the Pacific Northwest. Growing up, my dad and I would take our small fishing boat onto the lush little pool practically on a daily during the summer months. Fun fact, Lake Fazzen is one of seven lakes in Washington State that houses the exclusive tiger muskie. The tiger muskie is a beautiful silverish bluish orange fit with the appropriate tiger striped markings along its side. The hybrid between the river muskie and the northern pike is probably best known for its razor blade teeth and its ferocious tentacles, oftentimes witnessed snagging ducklings from the water's surface. This apex predator is often referred to as fish of 10,000 casts. Little did I know, it wasn't the only exclusive creature that resided within the shallow depths of Lake Fazzen. One warm August day in 1996, my father and I were pulling our small flat-bottom boat out of the lake. 7-year-old me stood at the end of the small dock, making sure our boat didn't drift out into the middle of the lake as my dad headed over for the truck. Before my dad began to back the small boat trailer into the water, something caught my eye. About 20 feet away from the end of the dock, the water boiled, just slightly. Initially thinking it was just a tiger muskie, I squinted my young eyes, trying to catch a glimpse of the ultimate catch. However, when several large humps breached the water's surface, I practically peed my pants. Jumping up and down with excitement, I frequently yelled at my dad, who was now inside the cab of the green pickup truck. "Dad! Dad, there's a monster in the water, look!" He obviously didn't hear me, but he still must have seen me jumping on the dock because he rolled down the driver's side window and stuck his head out. "Hey, what's going on, bud?" he shouted back.
"There's a monster in the lake!"
Now ecstatic that he was going to hear what I had to proclaim. Skeptically yet lovingly, my father replied,
"Oh yeah? How big is it?"
A smile stretched across his face. In an attempt to display what I believed to be a colossal creature, I spread my arms out as long as possible, which as a 7-year-old boy wasn't that large. But nonetheless, my father fed into what he believed was my active imagination.
"Wow, that's a big one,"
he shouted back. I nodded my head back, shaking with excitement. That was the first time I saw her. Little did I know, 24 years later, I'd find out that it was in fact a her, and I would have all of my youthful questions answered about what I had witnessed. This last summer, I visited Lake Fazzen for the first time in 17 years. It had barely changed. Unfortunately, I was not accompanied by my father nor our modest vessel. Rather, I had come to mourn him. He passed away a year prior. The final time I spoke to my father, we had gotten into a very heated argument, which led to me storming out of the house, not to return. A week later, I got a call from my mother, just before I pierced a vein in my ankle with a thin silver needle. "Mom, what's up? I'm in the middle of something," I said, unaware why she had been calling her burnout addict of a son. Her voice shook in a manner that I hadn't heard in years. "It's your father. He passed away." She trailed off as I heard her weeping behind the phone. I dropped the syringe full of opioids to the floor of my mess of an apartment. What? How? My voice shook as well, trying to hold back the tears. I was flooded with the memories of my father and I's last conversation. Guilt and regret flooded over me. Through tears, she spoke. "It was a heart attack, in his sleep." She trailed off again as I heard her blowing her nose over the phone. Oh, crap, no, no. No, this can't be happening. Mom, please tell me this isn't happening. I never got a chance to apologize for being such a pile of crap, Mom, please. I had previously attempted to hold back tears, but to no avail, they began flooding out of my eyes as snot began seeping out of my nostrils, spilling into my mouth. "He loved you, Peter. You know that. Unconditionally." "I'm sorry. Can I call back later? I need some time to breathe. I just thought you should be the first to know." She had managed to stabilize her voice for this final message. The kind, sweet tone I'd known so well poured through the speaker of my cell phone, seemingly pounding off the walls of my drug den bedroom. I attempted to collect myself as well. "Of course. Please call me back. I love you so much, Mom." I barely got the final words out of my mouth before, once again, tears started pouring out of my eyes and barreling down my flushed cheeks. When the call ended, I set my phone on my bedside table before untying the tourniquet I had wrapped around my calf. I threw the piece of rubber tubing across the room and stomped on the syringe, expelling yellowish ooze out onto my already stained carpet. I hadn't touched a drop since. A part of me cried out in pain as I stepped on the glass syringe. Another part of me cried out in victory. After dropping out of college during a failed attempt to become a director, I found myself between a rock and a hard place, dealing with the fact that my entire life had crumbled to ruins, or start pumping my veins full of heroin to deal with the pain. Eventually, I dragged myself back to my childhood home. My parents still welcomed me with loving arms despite the fact that I stood on their doorstep covered in needle marks. After a few weeks of being home, going through horrible fits of withdrawals only to somehow find just enough of the fluid to get a small high, my parents sent me to rehab. Of course I objected, proclaiming that I could do it on my own and I could stop if I wanted to. The usual suspects. I went away to an actually really nice facility for a month before returning home. When I walked up to my parents' front door holding my bags, my dad came out and gave me the largest hug I had ever received, tears of pride and joy swelling in his eyes. I had finally done something right. Unfortunately, as with many other addicts, this lasted only briefly. When I was cleaning out my room one day, I stumbled across a small clear baggie that had been lodged between my mattress and my bed frame. Like clockwork, I locked the door, wrapped a tourniquet around my upper arm, and pumped the goodness into my veins. Having not taken a hit in so long, I forgot how much was too much. I overdosed. When I woke up, I was in the hospital. I had been legally dead for 2 minutes before my father managed to kick my door down. Needless to say, the look on his face when I awoke was a look of disappointment and fury, the exact opposite of when I had returned home from rehab. Whistle, my mother sat with her head in her hands, sobbing, my father scolded me in the hospital room for all to hear. Finally, I was able to return home. I told my dad to go F himself and packed my bags. A week later, I received the call from my mother. Flash forward to this last summer. Just over a year of being clean, I had managed to pull my life together. I had found a job working as a bartender. I met a wonderful girl who I loved very much. I even considered popping the big question, and my mother and I had re-established our relationship through the bonding over our memories of my loving father. For a week prior, I had been flooded with the memories of catching small bass at a Lake Fazon with my father, only for him to applaud me as if I had caught the fish from the old man and the sea. I felt drawn to go back, and so I did. Just like that, 24 years ago, I wandered out in the warm August afternoon to visit the small body of water to mourn the memories of my dear dad. I exited the car I managed to buy with the money from my new job. It wasn't much, but it meant something to me. It signified a turning point. I stepped onto the hot asphalt of the parking lot and began walking towards the dock as if it was muscle memory. The wooden platform was now rickety and old, but still very usable. I picked up a small flat stone, walked over to the end of the dock, and skipped it. The rock scored across the lake like a rabbit mixed with Christ himself, until eventually sinking into the shallow blue water. I sat down, hands on my knees, and began to weep as the memories began to pour in. Then, all of a sudden, splash. Like a water pistol being shot at my face, a small jet of water had been spewed directly at me, hitting me just above my left eyebrow. Startled, I jumped back. When I looked to see what had shot the water at me, my mind began to race as I struggled to come up with an explanation as to what I was looking at.
"Hello, Peter. A long time no see."
The soft voice came from a woman's head that was just barely breaching the surface of the weedy lake. Despite my initial reaction, upon hearing her speak, my fears subsided and I felt a wave of relaxation and comfort wash over me. Now, more puzzled and confused than terrified, I rubbed the tears from my eyes and asked, "Who... what are you?" Furrowing my brow, dying with questions begging to be answered. She smiled a shimmering pearly white smile.
"I don't have a name, dear, but I've known you for a very long time."
As she said this, a memory surfaced at the forefront of my brain, the memory of the day I had seen the lake monster. Astonished, I responded, "Wait, that was you? All those years back?" My heart pounded as I had put two and two together. She let out a soft giggle, raising out of the surface even more so, exposing her entire head.
"Yes, it was me. I was always around you and your father when you come out to my lake. You are my favorite humans. I've missed you so much."
Her emerald eyes shone as if tears had begun to gloss over her eyes. Now, being able to see her entire appearance, I was in disbelief. I had never seen someone so beautiful, woman or man. Her beauty was beyond conventional means of attractiveness or sexuality. It transcended to levels that were almost cosmic. As I looked into her bright emerald eyes, I felt as if I was staring into a distant green nebula. She was as I pictured Eve from the Bible. She was perfect. God would have been content with just one. There would be no chance that a more beautiful person could have ever existed. Her vandeblack hair drifting gently in the water, absorbing all photons that collided with it, I was enchanted. Despite her more than perfect face, her body was something else entirely. When I was 7 and I had seen the humps in the water, I did not expect it to be a beautiful woman. I expected it to be some cross between a reptilian or amphibious serpent. And that was exactly what her body was, somewhere between a mix of a body of a giant salamander and a water serpent. Her greenish-blue scales glistened in the late afternoon sunlight. Her short legs, fit with webbed feet, treated the water beneath her. Her eyes grew soft and comforting as she began to speak once more.
"Your father, he's gone, isn't he?"
Her voice sounded sad, as if she had been a longtime friend and she had just now discovered his passing. I hesitated before responding, trying to hold back the tears that were pouring earlier.
He passed away a year ago. I came out here to remember all the time we had spent at the lake. As I said this, I felt a stray tear escape my right eye. Dribbling down my cheek, I managed to catch it before it rolled off my face. Her face suddenly grew sorrowful and conveyed an emotion similar to that of empathy.
I'm sorry, Peter. I truly am. He loved you very much.
Her voice was as silky smooth as her ivory skin. I grew a sardonic grin. I don't know about that. I screwed up pretty big time towards the end. Another tear escaped my left eye. This time, I did not attempt to catch it. Instead, I watched it as it dripped off my face and left a wet mark on the light brown wood I had been sitting on. She shook her head and smiled.
That doesn't matter. You need to trust me on this, Peter. Look into my eyes. They see emotions.
As I gazed, I was suddenly transported back 17, 16, 24 years ago. In the mere 15 seconds I had stared longly into her eyes, I had relived my entire childhood from her perspective. I saw my father and I frustrated as we got snagged on the extensive weed beds. The gleeful moment when I had reeled in the largest bluegill I had ever seen. My father giving me advice for when I was older, for when I was where I am now. Stay true to yourself, son. As long as you do that, you could never go wrong. Remember, I will always be here for you. I am your father, and you are my son. One day, you'll look back fondly on the times we spent out here on the boat, and perhaps you'll wish you could go back. But always remember, wherever you are in life, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Snapping back into reality, rivers were now gushing out of my tear ducts as I just heard the voice of my late father whispering some of his fatherly advice in my ear. The kind of thing he'd always do. The kind of thing that I'll never hear again. The woman, thing, cocked her head slightly to the right.
Do you see what I mean, dear? He loved you, and whatever happened between you two ultimately has no effect on how he felt of you. After all, you were his son, and he was your father. That bond is eternal.
Her once again silky smooth voice flowed through my ears like a warm knife cutting butter. I gazed up to the now setting sun as I wiped away my tears. Yeah, I know. I just wish I had a chance to apologize to him. I was such a crappy son. I was such a mess up. My voice trailed off and I again tried to dodge eye contact. Her face suddenly grew strict as she scolded me.
Don't you ever say that. You heard him. It doesn't matter. Everything happens for a reason. You can't blame yourself for his passing or for the feelings you were feeling. Sometimes bad things just happen. It's hard to accept, but that's just how life goes.
Her scolding had once again become comforting, like a mother consoling her son after his first heartbreak. Taking a deep breath, I accepted what she had to say. Yeah, I guess you're right. Wow, never expected to be getting life advice from a half-serpent, half-woman, I teased, letting out a soft chuckle. She responded with her own chuckle.
Life is funny that way, huh?
She smiled up at me as she did so. It was as if I'd received closure. Her smile said the words I desperately wanted to hear one last time. I love you, son. Before I could say anything in return, she looked to the sky and back down to me with panic in her emerald eyes.
Peter, listen to me. It's been great to see you again. But you need to leave now.
Her tone was now deadly serious. Bewildered by the sudden change, I took a moment before responding. Wait, what? Why? What's going on? I was confused. The panic grew even more so in her eyes.
Peter, trust me. Leave now.
But before she could say another word, something terrible began to happen. As the sun set behind the horizon, so did all things good-hearted, and that included her. Her once beautiful face began to write and contort in a way that almost made me nauseous. Her bright scales began to peel off into the water, revealed with slimy brownish flesh beneath, her limbs spasming as she let out a shrill screech. I covered my ears, protecting myself from the deafening noise. Suddenly, before my eyes, the previously perfect human turned into the worst thing I had ever seen in my life. Her face was no longer her own. It was mine. Now with yellowish-orange reptilian eyes and sunken-in eye sockets, needle marks dotted every inch of my face, the creature spoke in a distorted manacle voice.
You didn't actually believe a word that stupid bitch said, did you?
The other me scoffed as it pulled its grotesque body onto the dock with its bony webbed feet. I staggered backwards, no longer calm and collective, but rather quaking in pure dread as I had come face to face with my worst nightmare, myself. I stumbled backwards, landing flat on my backside as I scrambled. The abomination continued to half slither, half crawl in my direction. With every movement it made, came a loud slurp as it pulled its slimy form over the wooden surface of the dock. My own distorted face smiling, its teeth looked like someone had taken a brick to them, their jaggedness practically hurt to look at. I managed to pull myself onto my 2 feet. I slowly started walking backwards. What the heck? What happened? I was deeply saddened by the loss of my new friend, while simultaneously terrified by the creature that now stared back at me. Sliding its black tongue over its broken smile, it said,
You wanted to see the lake monster, right? Well, guess what? You are him.
Its eyes widened like it began to laugh like a hyena, starting to pick up speed. Bewildered by the turn of events, I refused to believe that that was in fact the case. No, that's not possible. You're wrong. I've changed. I fought back against the notion that I was looking into the eyes of my true self. Its slithering, crawling motion became faster and faster as it practically began running at me on all four of its stubby limbs.
Accept it, Peter. You are a mess up. You know it. Your girlfriend knows it, your mother knows it, and your dad knew it.
As the final words left the confined creature's lips, my terror was replaced with rage and I stopped my retreat. I took one final stand before proclaiming what I knew to be true. You were wrong! I glared at the hideous monstrosity as it grew even closer. Moments before its horrid teeth could sink themselves into my flesh, I raised my right leg. And with all the force I could muster, I brought my foot down upon my own head, over and over again. With each stomp that I inflicted on the creature came a small distorted yelp of pain, followed by a squirting of yellowish-brown blood from its ears and eyes. I didn't stop until my foot was a pool of yellowish-brown mush and chunks of jagged bone. Panting heavily, I pulled my right foot from the disgusting mess which had engulfed my sneaker.
You are exactly where you're supposed to be.
The delicate whisper left a hole in the creature's neck as it detached its body from the mound of mush, like a lizard detaching its tail in self-defense, and dragged itself into the murky water with a splash. I took a few deep breaths before turning and heading for my car. The sky now as dark as the water of the lake. Upon opening my car door, I sat in the driver's seat and put my head in my palms as I began to sob. By the time I put the keys into the ignition and drove home, the navy blue sky had turned to a pitch black. All this happened last August, and with the spring of the horizon, the Fish and Wildlife Department has unlocked the metal gate blocking the road to Lake Fazon. I'm thinking about taking my old spinning rod down to the dock in attempts to finally catching that tiger muskie that had been swimming around my dreams since I was a child. Or, to catch something even more magnificent.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.